Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We're in part two of a series we just started last week, really the first Sunday of the new year, and it's called Journey Through James. You saw that on the worship guide in your seat here in the room, and really it's a verse-by-verse study through the incredible New Testament book of James. So if you got a Bible or Bible app, turn with me there. We're still in chapter 1, but today we're going to pick up in verse 19, so James chapter 1, verse 19. Now, last week we made it just through the first 8 verses of chapter 1, but if we would have kept reading, and hopefully you did that on your own, you would have read that James kind of continues on a similar path to things we spoke about last week and keeps talking about the importance of humility, and he keeps talking about trials, and he even talks about temptation a little bit. But then he gets to verse 19, which is where we pick up today, James chapter 1. Verse 19, and I don't know if it's just the fasting or what, but I am fired up to share this message with you this morning. I really believe God's got a word for you from his word. James 1, 19, we'll start there, and I'm going to read out the NIV. Here's what it says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, somebody shout everyone. Everyone, that means you. And me, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and all the trash, all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word, the Bible, the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, that's the word of God, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I hope you caught that. If you want to be blessed, and I know you do, do what the word says. If you want to be blessed, do what the Bible says. I know we live in Houston, but it ain't rocket science, okay? Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. James, I believe it's chapter 3 or so, but he spends really a whole chapter talking about your words, so we'll get to that later on. And the religion is worthless. Last verse we're going to read together today. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's pure religion. That's the goal. That's what it should be all about. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, The Man in the Mirror. I'm staring at the man. You know that whole thing, The Man in. Studies show that every time I sing in a message, like the message is way more accepted. So I'm just going to sing a little bit today. Just kidding. The Man in the Mirror. Here, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much. And I'm so grateful for what you're already doing in the midst of people, God. We're so grateful for what you're doing in this room and also online. And we pray you continue, Lord, to do a great work. Again, we're so excited. This is such an important season in our church, God, where we kill our flesh. That's what fasting is, excuse me. We kill our flesh and we also feed our spirits. And so we're really dying to self and we're drawing closer to you. And God, really that makes us more in tune with what you're saying and what you're doing, Lord. And so I pray that you would do a powerful work. God, I really believe like you've given me a word, a timely word for your people. And so I pray that everybody would lean in spiritually today. I pray everybody would listen to what you have to say, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would all leave this place a little bit from now changed because of what you did in our lives. And even as the worship team prayed here in the green room before this service, God, that we would encounter you in a great way. That's what it's all about. We give you glory And we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The man in the mirror. Well, as you know, even the guys in the room, we spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. We really do. And I know that we pick on ladies all the time, but guys, can I come just straight at you for a moment? Some of you guys in the room, you spend more time working on your beard as you look in the mirror than your wife does on her hair. I'm just saying, okay? So we all use a mirror. In fact, before you came today, even if you're one of those people, I'm just going to go with the flow, you still spend a few seconds looking at your mirror, or at least your iPhone pointed towards you, looking at what you look like and what you need to fix and what you need to do up and what you need to clean or what you need to shave. You know what I'm saying? Like you spend some time looking in the mirror. You know, it was a few months back that I told you about a family mini vacation that we had a couple years ago, and many of you will remember this, but we did a Labor Day weekend kind of a trip, just me, my wife, our kids, and my mom, and we went to Galveston for a couple of days, and we rented a condo at the Galvestonian. I don't know if you've stayed there before, one of the classic kind of condominiums there, right there on the water, and I told this story a while back, but I'm going to hit it from a different angle. But when we got to the condo, we realized that there was an incredible, and I say incredible, not in a good way, in a bad way, there was an incredible swarm of mosquitoes that were all there at the condo. In fact, even to this day, I'm convinced that they were genetically altered, like because they could go against repellent. It did not work for them. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, literally, if you had a camera on us and all the things we had to do and how we had to act to try to get around these mosquitoes, they would even bite you when you were in the ocean, which I thought was not a possibility. They would bite you in the heat of the day. Like, these mosquitoes were crazy. I told you about that before. But here's what I didn't tell you about before. When we went to the condo, and most condos have this, I get it, but we went to the condominium, we saw there in our room that we had rented that everywhere there was full-length mirrors. And they do that, of course, to make it seem larger than it is, right? And so what was funny about that is our three young kids, they were fascinated with these full-length mirrors. Like it was actually pretty funny, and we laughed a lot at our kids. Did you really laugh? Yeah, we laugh at our kids all the time, okay? And so we were laughing at them because our little kids, they would be checking themselves out in the mirror. Like, literally, they'd be, like, posing and watching themselves eat and checking out the different angles, like, how you doing, you know, that kind of deal. Our kids were doing that, and it was just really, really funny. So I guess it starts young, but a mirror is a big part of all of our lives. And I've got a mirror here, and I've got it blacked out on one side because I don't want to be shining in your face just like that all service long. But I love this analogy that James uses talking about the man or the woman in the mirror, because here's what I know. That when we look in a mirror, we typically focus on all our imperfections, don't we? Like, can we just be real for a moment? When we look in the mirror, a lot of us, we see all the things that we lack, and guys, we wish we had, you know, more hair, and maybe some of the ladies wish they had less hair. I don't want to go too much into that, but anyways, you know, we see all the imperfection. It's getting real up in here. We see everything that we wish looked a little bit different. Now, the side that I have blacked out is actually that part of the mirror that actually magnifies. How many of y'all know those are really, really scary mirrors because it really hones in? So you're welcome. I got that blacked out for you. But when we look in a mirror, we see the flaws. We see the areas where we lack. Can we take it spiritual for a moment? Because that's the analogy that James uses. That's where he takes this symbolism, this example. When we look in the mirror, oftentimes we just see a sinner. We see all the lack, all the issues, everything that we wish we were. But James says here, I love this example. He says, Christians, there's actually a better mirror. There's something else that you can look into to see yourself more clearly and to actually be encouraged and not discouraged. What's the better mirror? It's the holy word of God. James says that when you look at this mirror, you see a sinner, but when you look at this mirror, you see your Savior. Can I get an amen on a Sunday morning? James says, when you look here, you see all the flaws, but when you look here, you see the perfect one, and his name is Jesus. He uses this beautiful example. Stop looking at yourself and start looking more at the reflection that you see back when you look into God's word. See yourself through the lens of Jesus. The reality is we could probably spend a little less time looking in here and a lot more time looking in here. So James is going to teach us today that oftentimes we're looking in the wrong mirror. We want to look in the better mirror, the right mirror. So if you're taking notes today, get ready to write down a few things. Again, I got a word for you. But as we look at the better mirror, here's what James encourages us with first from the verses we read together. He reminds us how important it is, number one, write this down, to listen fast and speak slow. To listen fast and speak slow. This is verses 19 through the first part of 21. That's why it says 21a. And really, what James says you should do and what he says I should do, it is the exact opposite of what I want to do in most scenarios. Like, I hope I can be real with you. Again, I don't want to be the fake pastor that pretends like I got it all together. I want to share with you my flaws and my insecurities and what God's doing in me. So I hope I can be real honest with you. But oftentimes, I want to be quick to speak, and oftentimes, I want to be slow to listen. Why? Because I think I'm right. And so I want to make sure you hear what I got to say, and I got less time to hear what you have to say. If I'm not careful, and maybe you can relate to this on some level, I can be quick to anger and slow to forgive. But James tells us very clearly that that's not our calling as Christians, people that follow Jesus. James says it this way, there's a better way, there's a better mirror. So James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he tells us, be careful not to talk too much. And oftentimes, we like to get on everybody else for talk. Hey, man, that person cannot just shut up. Like, just give it a moment. But oftentimes, that's us trying to talk too much. James says, be careful not to speak before you think. You remember telling that to your kids when they were little? I got to tell you, oftentimes, we need to take some of our own medicine as adults. And we should think before we speak. James says, be careful not to get angry. Because oftentimes, your anger leads to sin. And this reminds me of what the Bible says in another place. I'm just going to give you the reference, but it's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. I'm just going to paraphrase it. But here's what it basically says in that passage. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a foothold in your life. And that's powerful. That is so important. You see, when we are so quick to lose our temper, it actually gives the devil an opening in our life. So let me encourage you this morning, don't give the devil any open door or any open window to mess you up. In fact, can I tell you something? The devil doesn't just want to mess with you, he wants to kill you. He wants to take you out. And so don't give him an opening. Don't make it easier for him. And so I hope this morning you'll allow me to give you some friendly advice just from me to you, especially when it comes to this topic of anger. There's one thing that's really helped me practically, and again, this is just Pastor Ryan for a moment, but this has really helped me practically when it comes to my anger, because I really did have a problem with anger years ago. In fact, it started around the teenage years, and you could even, my mom and dad got some stories of times where I blew up, and it was unhealthy, and it was venom, and it was bad. And so I've learned some things dealing with anger throughout my life. So here's what helped me. I know it's going to help you. I hope you'll write this down. Everybody here, you need to know your triggers. You need to know your weaknesses. Your blind spots. We all have areas, or we can all get in environments where it's a lot easier for us to blow up, where it's a lot easier for us to say something that we're going to regret saying later. We should be aware of what can easily frustrate us, or what moments in life that we are more susceptible to anger, because James says human anger often leads to sin. So I'm going to give you a few of mine, and maybe you can relate to them. Maybe your list is different, but again, you should know your triggers. Here's a few of mine. Here's the first one. You don't have to write these down, okay? Here's just a few of them. When I'm hungry, that's a trigger for me. Can anybody else, can you say you get hangry, right? Hungry, angry. Okay, got a few of us. Honestly, this is dangerous every January here at this church because I am going without food. Now, I'm not fasting every meal. I'm not doing that. This season, I've done this a lot. I'm fasting lunch. And so I'm not having any lunch appointments with anybody. I spend that time seeking God and in his presence instead of eating, again, killing the flesh, feeding my spirit. And I got to tell you, like, I've had moments, we're 1 week in, church, but I've had moments where I've had to apologize to my family for having the wrong attitude. And again, you can take it back. It's not an excuse for it, but you could take it back to me being a little hangry, a little hungry. And so I know that that's a weakness in me, that I know that's an area where I can possibly say some things I shouldn't say or kind of act out in anger. Here's another one. When I'm tired, right? When I'm exhausted. And if you're a parent like my wife and I, that's pretty much all the time. So that includes a lot of time. But when you're tired, that's how it is for me. Now, by the way, just to help me out for a moment, those that in our church, and there's probably nobody in the room, but maybe somebody watching online, those that have the spiritual gift of criticism, can I just talk to you? Just my heart to your heart. By the way, that's not a spiritual gift, but some people act like it is. But if you got that gift, the best time to bring criticism towards me is not after I preach two messages. You know, like, let's set an appointment. Seriously, we can talk about it. I'll apologize. I'm telling you, I say stuff all the time. I'm like, Isabel, that's my wife's name. Like, I shouldn't have said that. That was too far. You could probably think of three things I said last week. You know, I shouldn't have said that. And so I get it. I don't know everything. I'm not gonna pretend that I do. But don't do it after I preach two messages, okay? Like, give me some time. Let's schedule it during the week. You know, let's have some coffee. You know, let's make it a better environment. But when I'm tired, I am more susceptible to anger. I think I got some friends that can relate to this last one, number three. And I could give you more, but I don't want to bore you. Just trying to give you some examples here. Number three, my third area where I can be triggered to anger more easily is when I'm involved in anything that involves complicated instructions or anything that has long wait times. Can anybody relate to that in the room? Okay, I got some friends here. Like that those are not my happy places, okay? And so that covers, just in case you're wondering, putting together anything from IKEA, okay? That's a part of that equation there. Anything that involves like a doctor's visit. Like that just really frustrates me. Like, I'm already frustrated because what do? They ask you to get your appointments at 11. They ask you to get there early to fill out the paperwork, right? So 10:45, 10:30 would be ideal. But how many of you know your appointment will never, ever, ever start at 11? Never. Like, never. Did I say never? Never. It won't. It's 11. If you hit 11:30, and like, your doctor is on it, right? And I don't know all the reasoning. I'm sure there's good excuses, but I am not in a good mood when I go on a doctor. Anybody been to the DMV recently? AKA hell on earth, right? Like you want an image of hell, go to the DMV any day of the week. Now, thank the Lord that now a lot of times we can renew our license online, right? Like, technology's brought a lot of bad stuff. That's not bad. That's good. But still, the DMV, anything with a long wait or putting stuff together, that's not my happy place. I know that I can be triggered, and so you need to know your triggers. Like, you need to know areas where you are weak. And if you don't know, ask your spouse, because they'll tell you. They got the list. I'm so glad you asked, honey. Here it is. If you're not married, ask your best friend. Like I'm telling you, you got to know your blind spots. You got to know areas where you are weak. Know your triggers. Know how and when you can be more easily angered and speak before you think. Now, I told you in week one last week, if you were here, that the book of James reads more like the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And Proverbs has a great couple verses on this idea. It's incredible. I'm going to read this one verbatim. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 through 28. It talks about this, and it is so, so good and so to the point. I'm going to read out the NLT here. It'll be on the screen. Here's what it says. Proverbs 17, 27. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise. They keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Like I've been telling y'all for a long time, the Bible is funny, y'all. And if you don't think it's funny, you're either not reading it or you're not paying attention when you read it. Like, the Bible's hilarious, but isn't that funny? And also, isn't that so true? Oftentimes, we could do so much better if we would be fast and quick to listen and slow to speak. If we would be quick to forgive someone and we would be slow to anger. This is so practical. It's not rocket science, but it's hard to live it out. All right, here's the second point. And the last point, we're going to spend some time on this one. I'm going to get back to the mirror analogy that James uses a lot in this passage. Secondly, James challenges us, number two, to look close, live different. To look close and live different. This is part B of verse 21 all the way through verse 27. To look close, live different. Look close, live different. You see, as true followers of Jesus, we are to look closely at Scripture, the better mirror. We are to look closely at Scripture, but we're also called to do what it says. Y'all remember that old Nike slogan, just do it, right? Like, stole it from James, by the way. Like read the Bible all you want, but just do it. Look close at Scripture. I mean, you read it. You look closely, but you also live different because of it. James makes it really clear. I love this passage so much. He makes it really clear that reading the Bible, hearing the Word of God preached is critical, but it can't stop there. You've got to live different because of it. We don't ask the Word of God to change, do we? We ask ourselves, hey, how do I need to change when I read the Word of God? And honestly, and this has been stirring me up all week long, but honestly, I'm concerned for a lot of church people in our world because we have a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of application. We got a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of application. Like, we live in a culture, friend, where the Bible is being translated, studied, preached, and analyzed like never before, but I don't think it's being obeyed on the same level. People that have memorized Scripture, but they're not living any different than they were before they memorized that verse. You see, the truth is, I don't think the devil really cares that you came to church today. I don't. The truth is, I don't think the devil really cares that you're listening to this message. Here's what the devil cares about. Are you going to live differently because of the message? Oh, that was okay, Pastor, and just keep on doing your own thing. That's not life change. There's no point to that. We live in a culture where we read so much and hear so many messages, but oftentimes we don't change the way that we live. Now, please hear me. It's great that you own a Bible. I love that you own a Bible. It's great that you downloaded the Bible app. Like, that's awesome. It's awesome. Some of you got Bible verses tattooed all over your body. That is cool. Like, I don't got any tattoos, but I think that's cool. Some of y'all, you grew up in a home, or maybe your grandma's home, she had different verses crocheted and she would frame it and put it in her house, right? Some of you, y'all remember JBQ, Junior Bible Quiz, and you memorized a whole bunch of verses. You didn't know what they meant, but you memorized those verses and you got a medal at the end, right? I think that's cool, and I think that's awesome. But if you don't live any different, what was really the point? I'll tell you what the point was. You just felt better about yourself. You can memorize the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. You can memorize the maps in the back. You could go on 13 Holy Land trips and know exactly where this passage was written and where this thing happened and when Jesus did this here. You can know it all. You can lead the tour guide one day. But if you don't live any differently, what was the point? And James is looking at you and I today, and he's saying, it's about time that some men and women of God, they start standing on the Word of God. Oh my goodness, is he standing on the Bible? Yes, I'm standing on the Bible. What else could I stand my life on? What else could I build my life on? I gotta tell you, friend, the Bible was never meant to be a paperweight. It is a firm foundation to build your life upon. I'm telling you, it is everything that you need to learn about the one who has changed the world. I love that you can live stream your favorite pastor during your lunch break on Tuesday. I love that you can check the 60-second sermon clip on Instagram and give it a double tap and say that you loved it. I love all that stuff, but if it ain't changing the way that you live, if you're not living differently, what's the point? You're like a man or a woman that looks at themselves in a mirror and just moments later as they walk away, they forget everything they just saw. I say to you this way, and y'all have heard me say this a lot, if the Sunday doesn't change the Sunday didn't count. We got to look close, but we've also got to live different. And some of us, we've been looking at the wrong mirror for far too long, and all we see is faults, and all we see is insecurities, and all we see is blemishes, all we see is a sinner. But the Holy Spirit working through James says, no. You're looking at the wrong mirror. You need to look the mirror of God's word. And you will no longer see the sinner. You'll see your Savior. You'll see him as you look at yourself through the word of God and how he saved you and how he set you free and that he's perfect enough for both of you. It's by his stripes we are made whole. In fact, here's the best way that you can read scripture. Would you write this down? To read and react. I know it's simple. It's three words, really two words with just that conjunction in the middle. I get all that. But every time you read a verse, every time you hear a message, you take it in, you look close. Look close. That's important. But you very quickly need to react to it. God, what are you speaking to me? God, what are you showing me? God, how should I live differently? God, what areas are not honoring you that I need to make sure I remove from my life? God, what are you saying that I should do next? God, what are you saying that I haven't done that I need to finally start doing? God, I'm looking close at your word, but how do you want me to live differently because of it? We don't just read the word, we invite the word to read us. The word is our firm foundation to stand and build our life on because it's all about Jesus. Y'all know that, right? We are not the main character in this story. Jesus is the... Wait, what about the Old Testament? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hundreds of prophecies all about Jesus. Even a promise from God at the very beginning that there's going to be someone to step on and crush the serpent's head. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. We look close, but we also live different. Amen, church? Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes? Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd help us look at the better mirror. We spend so much time looking in a mirror in our bathroom, at our home, or at work. Even on our phone, have the camera turned around towards us. We spend so much time looking at ourselves physically. But all that really does is points out all the insecurities and all the failures and all the shortcomings. And all we see is us. I pray, God, we would spend more time looking at the better mirror, your word. That we would look close, but also live different. That we would read and react. Read and react. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? May we not deceive ourselves, as James says. And I pray, God, and I know it's not easy. It definitely isn't for me. But I pray, God, you would help us as your followers to listen fast and speak slow. Man, social media, Lord, would look a lot different if more Christians, I'm not talking about outside the church, I'm talking about Christians, if they would listen fast and speak slow. if we be quick to forgive. The Holy Spirit's convicting somebody right now. You've been quick to anger and slow to forgive. That's your default, just like it can be for me. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. Hey, you got to change your ways. It starts with the man or the woman in the mirror. It starts with you. God, help us to be quick to forgive, slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that you require. It often leads to sin. I pray, God, we get rid of all that trash, all that moral filth. And even the verses in the original language, the Greek, it really speaks of kind of taking off that old nasty garment. May we do that, Lord. I pray, God, we would know our triggers. In what seasons or what areas or what moments in life that we can more easily fall into temptation of being angry, and not righteous anger, but unrighteous anger. God, I pray that you help us to see that we no longer have blind spots, but to know the areas where we're weak, not so we can make an excuse about it, but so we can do better. That when we step into that environment, we already know that we'll be susceptible to anger and we can be prayed up. That when we encounter moments, we know it's a trigger moment, and so we can ask you for strength and ask you for help, because we don't want to blow up on somebody. We don't want to blow up on our spouse or our best friend or our kids. God, help us to know our triggers. And may we not give the devil any opening in our life. No cracked window, no cracked door, where he can't even get a foot in. There's no opening for him, God, because we realize he wants to kill us. He wants to steal from us. He wants to destroy us. Help us to walk in that wisdom, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray even now, come on, close your eyes with me. Definitely in the room, but if you're able to, safely online. God, I pray right now, just feel you speaking this. I pray, Lord, that a passion for your word would rise up amongst your people. God, you went through so much, not only to get us your holy written word, but even how scripture became canon and all the different processes that went into which book is from God and which one isn't. There's so much you did, not just that, but preserving your word. You did so much. May we not neglect it. It is not a paperweight. It's a roadmap. It's a survival guide. God, may we use it, and may there be a passion for your word. And every time we read your word, every time we hear a sermon, may we read it, may we receive it, and may we react to it. God, what are you asking me to change? How should I live different? What should I do? What should I stop doing? God, may we have that kind of perspective, that kind of mentality. Help us to be mature as we follow you. And I pray lastly, for anybody in the room, anybody online that's far from you, I pray today, God, would be their day of salvation. I pray today they would put their faith and trust in you, Jesus. Jesus, it's all about you. Jesus, you are the one who saves. You are the one that sets us free. You are the only one who has the power and the authority to forgive us of our sins. I even think to what you said about yourself, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're here in this room, listen to this online, you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you just want to do a fresh commitment, this is your moment. The second Sunday of a new year. And here's what I want you to do. You can keep your eyes closed, but I want to coach you in what you can say to Jesus, how you can talk with him. You can whisper this to him right now. It's so important that you do. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. Come on, you can whisper to him. Not a big scene, just you and Jesus. Jesus, I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you, it's so important that you ask him this. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to make me new, to clean me up from the inside out. God, thank you for the people today that are committing their life to you. Thank you, God, for those that are surrendering everything It's the best decision they could ever make. God, thank you for what you've done in this service. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.